The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 32, found on page 35 of the Pew Bible. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off to myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Recall those words that we just sang. And I think they speak to every one of us. The second verse says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. As we look at our gospel lesson this morning from Luke 18, our theme comes to us in the form of a question. It simply asks, what is proper prayer? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I'm going to make 2 points. Proper prayer is persistent, which is our first point. And we see that by example in today's Old Testament lesson, where Jacob is persistent in his wrestling with God. He would not quit until he had received a blessing. Hear briefly that account again. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. What persistence on the part of Jacob in this struggle, in that he would not give up until he had received the blessing. In our text, the widow is just as persistent in seeking vindication from her adversary. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, to the judge, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And the end of her persistence is this: "And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out.'" Proper prayer is both persistent and continual. Verse 1 of the text says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not give up." And we also know that persistence builds character. The Bible says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then the Bible also says, "And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." Persistence in prayer and doing good go hand in hand. They simply are marks of the life of one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And then how often do you and I read through the Psalms and we hear expressions like crying out to him day and night? The psalmist said, "And my tongue shall declare thy righteousness and thy praise all day long. In God we have boasted all day long. And we will give thanks to thy name forever, O Lord, the God of my salvation. I have cried out by day and at night before thee. Let my cry come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry." Our prayer life flows from our baptismal life, from the grace and the mercy that we have received in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul simply said, pray without ceasing. Our prayer life, like all things in life, has us sometimes falling short of God's expectations for us. I think many a time we give up too easily. We don't wrestle with God as did Jacob. We don't really pour ourselves out before God and plead with him. Because we all have needs. We all know someone who's hurting. We're all aware of situations in homes that are not good. We have a God who has a storehouse of blessings, and he wants to pour them out. What is proper prayer? Finally, let us state that proper prayer is confident. We know that God hears our prayers and that he answers them. Luther wrote, and I quote, praying is the work of faith alone and something no one but a Christian can do. For Christians do not base their prayer on themselves, but on the name of the Son of God, in whose name they have been baptized. And they are certain that praying in this way is pleasing to God because he has told us to pray in the name of Christ and has promised to hear us. End quote. Things in life are not always fair, not always just, not always easy. Sometimes we see the actions of an unjust judge or have to deal with laws that are unjust. That is what the woman in our text was having to deal with. It says again, there was in a certain city a judge, number one, who did not fear God, number two, did not respect man, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. And then we flash forward to verse 7. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over him? As we think about this, would we really want God's justice to be heaped upon us? We are sinners. We know what we deserve. Death and eternal damnation in hell. That isn't something any one of us wants. But if God really gave us the justice that it demanded, that's what we would have. For we had not kept the law of God perfectly. And yes, we have neglected the means of grace, word, and sacrament. And sometimes our prayer life is, well, maybe, maybe not. One easy way that we can all improve our prayer life is to use a prayer journal. You know, you probably have said to someone at one point or another, well, I'll be praying for you. I say that. And you know what? The only way I'm going to do it is if I go home, well, number one, I got to write a note right away, and then that note, secondly, has to go in my prayer journal. Then it will happen. But so often we use that expression, we just, well, I'll be praying for you. And then it's 2 weeks later, and you see that person, and oh, geez. Lord, remember Bill. Write it down. And the beautiful thing about doing that is then you can look back over time and you can see how God answered this prayer and how God answered that prayer. The help that we know that we need because of our failures has already come It's come to us in the person and work of Christ Jesus, true God and true man, Savior and Redeemer of all people. He is the one who took all of God's justice upon himself, absorbed it in his body on the cross, was beaten, put to death, blood flowed from him, and it covered every last one of our sins. The Bible says of him being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a payment in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Through the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, we have been declared not guilty before the judge. Jesus took the punishment and the judgment for the sins of the whole world upon himself, yours and mine included. We can pray confidently because we live as his chosen ones. The Bible says of us, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Sometimes we may wonder, is God really hearing our prayers? Is he answering them? But we need to remember that he does not answer according to our time plan. Too often the I and the me can get in the way of the him. God knows what we need better than we do. But we can approach him with all boldness and confidence as dear children ask their dear father. And Luther also wrote, in faith, the confidence that God is merciful always must be present. But this confidence embraces faith and the remission of sins for Christ's sake. For it is impossible for a conscience to expect anything from God unless it first gains the conviction that God is gracious for Christ's sake. End quote. Proper prayer is the response to the love of our Father in heaven as shown to us in the giving of his Son to us. Our prayers flow from Jesus' promise, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. That forgiveness he personally bestows as we come to the communion rail to receive his shed body and blood. We pray with the words of St. Paul before us as well. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.